I hate you, but I can't stop listening to you. I hate you, but I can't stop listening to you. I hate you, but I cannot stop listening to you. I hate you, but I cannot stop listening to you. I hate you, but I cannot stop listening to you.
Well, welcome back to another episode of I Hate You, But I Can't Stop Listening, starring Stuart and...
Matthew?
Yes! What's going on with you, Matthew?
Well, since we last recorded, something very special has happened.
Did you finally clean your ears?
Well, yes, and...
You took a shower?
Well, yes, and...
You had a colonoscopy?
Not yet, but I suppose I'll be due for that pretty soon.
Okay, pray tell, what is going on in your life?
I had a little baby girl.
For dinner?
No.
Oh, wait. Sorry to totally step on your thunder here today, but my...
Ignoring my describing the birth of my first child and bulldozing it with your own jokes be anything inconsiderate.
Well, this is a surprisingly relevant anecdote that I'll let you talk all about this thing that happened to you.
Please continue with your selfishness.
So I'm driving my children to preschool today, and my nearly four-year-old daughter somehow got into her head. Well, she asked me, Daddy, can I go back in Mommy's tummy? To which I said, no, you know, you're born, you come out of Mommy's tummy, and that's it. She says, I want Mommy to eat me. Which I said, why? So I can be back inside Mommy's tummy.
Well, you know, the logic is a bit off, but I understand the concept. And I don't disparage her for the sentiment.
Well, very good. All right, tell us about the stupid baby of yours. Actually, no. For the record, first of all, why I am a callous jerk, you have a very cute little baby.
I'm not going to lie. Thank you. I believe she's in the top 4th to 6th percentile of baby cuteness.
Out of?
100 percentiles.
So she's in the top 4 to 6?
Isn't that the way it works? Or is it the 96th?
I think that would be a better way of stating that, yes.
She's in the top bracket. Whatever that bracket is, right there at the tippy top.
Yeah, okay. We're talking that. As babies go, she is a damn cute baby.
Yeah, we're talking toddlers and tiaras. Call me Mama June.
Oh, dear God.
That's going to be my plight.
Oh, boy.
You betcha. Anyway, what were we doing?
Talking about your baby?
Oh, yeah, she sure is cute. And she's really, I think she's going to be smart.
Oh, based on what?
Yeah, you killed my thunder again there. That was a buzzkill. I got nothing.
Her mother, perhaps.
Look, based on my genetic, based on the genetics I gave her, there's at least a 10% chance that she'll be functional in society. And I like them odds.
Yeah, okay. It's as good as you can do.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. I'm so proud. I'm so happy to hear that you've got this genius child of yours that's already solving math problems that have been stymieing civilization for ages, and that's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. On top of that, what's going on with me?
That's a great question. What is going on with me? I mean you.
By me, I mean me, not you.
As asked by you.
Yes. What is going on with me today, Matt?
You don't know. What is going on?
Is it some sort of special day in my life? I've been on this earth 41 times as long as your daughter.
I was going to say, a day is a day. Days come and go. I suppose today could be someone's birthday, you know, picking names out of a hat. Today is someone's birthday.
Someone.
Maybe yours.
Someone. Oh. Yeah. You know what? Someone like me thanks someone like you for the most oblique happy birthday I've ever heard.
Oh, it's your birthday. I'm being what you call obtuse.
I see. Well, that's acute of you, and I saw so lees to meet you.
Well, Congratulations. I think we've both just driven away our last two listeners.
Hey, that's more than I would have thought we started with today.
So I guess things ain't too bad.
We've established that our life is full of excitement and adventure. We've established that we are dynamic jet-setting people. So now that we've done that, what's this podcast about?
Ah, good question, Stuart. Very good question. Our podcast basically takes music, a song, songs that are stuck in our heads that we can't stop listening to, but yet we hate.
Yes.
See how they I twisted us. That around?
Yes, I see that. Yes, it's not necessarily that we hate the song, but we hate what it does to us.
We hate what it has become in our minds.
It has become the Frankenstein's monster. Nay, the Victor Frankenstein itself of our brains. Would you say we, on this podcast, talk about earworms?
Why, Stuart, I feel like you're leading us into a reference that you've used before on maybe one or two occasions.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Star Trek Wrath of Khan, he pulls the thing out of the guy's ear.
I can't believe you brought that up.
Just get it out.
I can't believe you brought that up.
Get it out.
That's so relevant. Yes, I feel that applies here perfectly.
Creatures in our bodies.
And on that note, what songs will we be talking about tonight?
My song is the same song.
Is it the same old song that we've been singing since you've been gone?
No, not the same old song, but same song
by
the alt-rap group Digital Underground.
Oh, and I'll be talking about Bruno Mars' big hit, That's What I Like. Well, since clearly we have nothing exciting to say, I think we're going to roll right into our first patented I Hate You, But I Can't Stop Listening break. Yes, it is good to be back. Why don't you talk about your song?
I'd like to do that, yes.
Yes, I'm feeling generous on the celebration of the birth of your first child. And may your first child be a masculine child.
You see, that's a little awkward. Well, we'll just roll with it. Sure. I hope she has as much hair on her chest as I do. So the boys don't like her.
Okay.
Anyways, awkward. And, you know, getting to my song. So...
What is your song again?
Same song by the alt-rap group Digital Underground.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so a little background, if you will.
Yes.
Digital Underground started up in the late 80s, founded by a man who calls himself Shock G, who goes by the alter ego Humpty Hump.
Probably his most famous incarnation.
Is the Humpty Dance.
Right.
A 1990 hit.
Can I make a very controversial statement?
You know I want you to.
I think the Humpty Dance is the best! I love the Humpty Dance!
It's not a bad song.
No, actually, that's a very non-controversial statement. I would be as far as going willing to say is that is probably the best song entered into the wedding industrial complex in my lifetime.
The proverbial modern chicken dance, if you will.
Yes. I just love it. It's so delightful. It just makes me happy every time.
You're not alone. It was a very, very successful, popular song right at the turn of the 90s, I guess.
Yeah, more or less.
And probably if you're picturing the video in your head, you're picturing Shock G or Humpty Hump in your head. You're picturing with the fake nose and eyeglasses and a big sort of entourage of... You know, fellow hip hopsters and dancers and all sorts of funny shenanigans. Anyways, I sound like a 95-year-old man right now, which is not altogether unrelevant when you hear my explanations go down the road.
I'm interested to see where you're going.
Yeah. So anyway, a year later. They put out a song called Same Song. which is maybe not as well known. But, you know, the funny thing about this song is that you cannot talk about this song. One cannot elaborate on this song, same song, without talking about the movie it's inexorably linked to.
And this is where I probably heard the song and didn't realize it when you brought it up as an option for this show.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
What movie are we talking about?
The surreally, bizarrely, disturbingly weird movie directed, starring, and written by, produced by, everything by Dan Aykroyd, called Nothing But Trouble.
That is one of the most unpleasant watches of a movie that I really can imagine. I mean, Salou, about or 100 Days in Sodomy is a more pleasant watch than...
Stuart, sometimes we haven't always agreed on everything lately, but let me tell you, there is nothing we agree on more than what you just said.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd, at one point in the movie, plays a man with a penis nose... And that is not the most disgusting feature of that character.
That is the least disgusting feature of this revolting character. But let me just provide for those out there who have not seen the movie or who have not heard of the song.
Or for that matter, listen to the many podcasts about bad movies that have featured that show as an episode.
We are certainly not the first. We won't be the last.
That's right.
If there is a God. This movie, 1991, the brainchild of a bizarre Dan Aykroyd,
He is a profoundly weird man once you scratch the surface.
Evidently. And this is, I think this movie was everything that was in his brain that he ever wanted to get out. All right. So it was released. It cost $40 million to make. It flopped religiously. It lost $32 million.
Oh my.
Now remember, this is 26 years ago, you know, so... That was a significant amount of money. Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody greenlighted this movie. I don't know who he had dirt on, but somebody greenlighted this movie. Well, anyways, I think the best way to just provide, if I could, a few sentences about this movie is to go to the website BuzzFeed.com and to read a few of the listings of a vignette that's called "The 16 Most Traumatic Things About Nothing But Trouble." Okay. Number one, here I'm reading right off their website. Well, number one, Dan Aykroyd, who also wrote and directed, plays a 106-year-old judge. Number two, his prosthetic nose is pretty clearly a penis. Good call, Stuart.
Thank you.
Number three, he eats a hot dog and it's basically not suitable for work. Number four, he also drinks hot Hawaiian punch. They are not making up any of this, by the way. This is number five, the judge makes criminals ride Mr. Bone Stripper, a deadly roller coaster whose name kind of says it all.
I had nightmares about that thing because after every time somebody goes through that ride, there's this shot of bones just being thrown at a wall. It is gross.
Number six, John Candy is in drag a lot. Number seven, here's John Candy in a wedding dress. Number eight, reminder, this is an actual movie. Number nine, Chevy Chase and Demi Moore have a romantic subplot. And I'm going to skip around a little bit, and I'm going to stop at number 12. There's a random and lengthy performance by Digital Underground. The subtitle says it all. It says, you might remember them as the group behind the Humpty Dance. You hopefully don't remember them from this awful movie. And actually,
they are definitely the high point of the film.
No, I'm going to read number 13, too. It says,
okay. This
was Tupac Shakur's acting debut.
Interesting.
Yeah, the song, if I could move back to the song,
please,
which is what we're talking about.
I would encourage
it. It opens up with one of the ensemble singing, "All Around the World, All Around the World." All of a sudden, then, it segues into Tupac, a very young and very innocent-looking Tupac, a Shakur, singing the refrain, "All Around the World, Same Song." Then he repeats that until Shock G comes out and starts rapping a bit.
I came for the party to get naughty, get my rocks on, eat popcorn, watch you move your body to the pop song that I'm singing, ding-a-linging, funky beats ringing, everybody swinging into place as I kick the J-A-Z-Z-Y style.
Then all of a sudden, Shock G turns around and is his alter ego, Humpty Hump, with the nose. He starts singing.
It's just the freestyle, meanwhile we keep the beat kicking, sweat dripping, girlies in the limo eating chicken. Oops, don't get the grease on your pantyhose, I love you, Robo, move over, I gotta blow my nose, sneeze. But still I'm pleasing all the slimmies. Pull out my Jimmy. Time to get busy with a Jenny. If it's good and plenty, don't you know? There I go, there I go, there I go. But I don't go nowhere without my gym hat.
Then back to Tupac. All around the world, same song. And then it kind of flips back and forth. Lots of ladies dancing on the side. In the movie, at some point, Dan Aykroyd, as the penis-nosed 106-year-old foul, disgusting judge, throws open an old keyboard, electric keyboard, and begins grooving with them on the keyboard. And they're all, pleasantly surprised. This is the most sense this movie makes. And that's saying a lot.
Yes, it is. I had very, very vague recollections of the song when I listened to it for the first time today in quite a long time. And I think it's a great song.
It's not an uncatchy song.
It really isn't. I think it feels super improvised, which is what's kind of fun about it. But it's silly, it's got a great sense of humor about it.
Clearly it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, and Shock G is just one of the few actually funny rappers.
Yes, but unfortunately, because this song literally was made for the movie, it is doomed to that part of my brain which is constantly trying to process cognitive dissonance.
Now, can I also make one other comment about this being, quote, called the same old song? Am I correct in guessing the bass line is the exact same bass line as the Humpty Dance? It is, as one might say, the same song.
Ironic or brilliant? Or both?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot. Can I just, you know what, I hate to jump around, but I just remembered possibly the most disturbing part of the movie.
Okay.
And this is number 14 on BuzzFeed's list. There are two mutant twins named Bobo and Little Devil.
Oh, boy.
You betcha. My family, who remembers seeing the movie way back when, we still joke about these two repugnant characters, sometimes throwing lines back and forth like, we're the characters.
Did you see this in the theater with your family?
No. My parents' threshold for seeing movies was low, but even they had some standards. This played on HBO a million times in the early 90s, probably to try to recoup some of the $32 million loss at the box office.
That's a pretty crazy.
Chevy Chase apparently is quoted saying at some point, you know what, afterwards, I knew this movie was going to be a catastrophe, but I was friends with Dan Aykroyd, so I did it. Demi Moore has no excuse. She was up for a Razzie for Worst Actress, and I think she should have won.
I wonder who took it away from her that year.
It was Sean. Is it Sean Young?
I wouldn't know. That's an impressive memory if you know the Razzies year by year.
I have a large capacity for the Razzies for some reason. I believe she lost to Sean Young, and I forget the movie.
Fair enough.
Well, I've hogged up the the conversation long enough, rather.
Oh, no problem. That was an interesting insight into a song that I'm glad you have remembered and now horrified to think about watching the video on YouTube.
Anytime.
All right. I think now that we've finished with this song, and let's move on to song number two. After one of our
commercial breaks,
patented. I hate you, but I can't stop listening.
Commercial breaks.
Not a commercial break. If we had commercials, we'd actually make money on this. We don't have commercials. It's just a break.
But if I say commercial break, maybe somebody will get, like, hear us and actually stick one in there. A commercial into the break. Let me rephrase that.
Yes, I'm glad that you're doing that.
I think I should say the word commercial before break so that sponsors are inspired and thus stick one in there.
So let's take one of our patented
commercial breaks.
Breaks. And we're back. And now we're going to talk about my song, Bruno Mars.
No. His name is Bruno's Mar. Dude did fine.
Bruno's Mar. Yes. We're talking about Bruno's Mar. That ends what I'm liking.
I am Bruno's Mar. Why do you make fun of me?
That am me liking I is.
I pictured Bruno's Mar as a French dilettante who's very, very snobby about Americans mispronouncing his name.
Well, anyway, the song I'm actually talking about is Bruno Mars's That's What I Like, which came out this year in 2017, so very fresh, hot off the presses. It's hit number one. It's a very popular song, and I find it profoundly annoying.
You know, I'd like to counter that by saying I did listen to it recently and had not heard it before because I don't listen to, like, the radio regularly right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you are a human being who exists and goes out to places, correct?
Elaborate on being exists and places. No. I mean, no. I leave the house, but I don't pay attention that much to that modern jazz, the devil's music that's playing. And so when I listened to this, it was fresh. It was fresh, and I will say I was only mildly annoyed and mildly,
Well, I'll grant you this. Let me say that. So as I said, I don't hate the song, and if you listen to it superficially, it's kind of fun. But then the more I listen to it, the more annoyed I get. And I think it's more the sentiment and the words being used than really the structure of the song. I mean, it's catchy. It's kind of fun. It's bouncy. You know, it's
playful. It's playful.
It's playful. The video is kind of fun, which is just Bruno Mars kind of like dancing in a very kind of subtle manner with like some slight CGI like enhancements to it, like little light bars and things like that. And it's kind of fun. But the song is just, it's very annoying. And I think the ultimate issue with it is kind of the basic concept of the song. The whole song is Bruno's Mar.
I am Bruno's Mar. Why do you mock my name? Oh, get out, Bruno's Mar.
I don't know why. I picture him more of an Eastern European Borat type character.
Yeah, you might be right.
I am Bruno's Mar. Yes. I show you strawberry champagne on ice. I show you diamonds, all white!
And then I punch you!
You know what? I suddenly figured out the key to unlock the song. Now I like it.
Oh.
If you think of it more of as a song sung by an uncouth Russian oligarch, it actually is very appropriate.
But then, Stuart, not for nothing, but doesn't that pretty much make every song better?
Yeah, this is true. This is true, for I am Bruno's Mar! Anyway, it's kind of just, it's a song about excess, about, you know, wasting enormous amounts of resources to impress a woman who's probably not that impressive in and of herself, except she's probably got a nice butt. Although even that isn't explicitly stated. Basically, you know, he's offering her trips, he's offering her diamonds. The fact of the matter is, it's the things that he's trying to offer her seem just so just chintzy and cheesy. Again, I point to the cool jewelry shining so bright.
Cool jewelry shining so bright, strawberry champagne on ice.
Cool jewelry. strawberry champagne on ice, which sounds disgusting. I mean, at least he didn't say, like, strawberry champagne warmed up on a hot plate. But that doesn't sound a whole lot better.
Do you often hear reference to the old hot plate champagne situation? Is that something you've done in the past?
But Bruno Mars
eats everything off a hot plate. Don't need to state the obvious.
Again, this cold Russian winters, you don't want champagne on ice, you want hot plate.
Nice, warm, bubbly, they call it.
That's right. The sex by the fire at night, okay, that's fine. But silk sheets and diamonds all white. I mean, it's just, again, it's just cheese ball. It's just like this. You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen The Jerk with Steve Martin?
Oh, a few hundred times.
One of the many, many, many great scenes in that movie is he's finally made some money off his OptiGrab. And he's sitting at his desk in his gigantic techie mansion. And he pours himself a drink, puts an umbrella in it, and then examines a magazine to make sure he looks just like the guy in the liquor ad. And this song is basically the 3.5 length or the 3.5 minute version of that.
It's like a child trying to imagine what the cool life is like without actually knowing anything about what it's like to be rich and famous.
Precisely. There's a few other kind of just other annoyances that I see throughout the song. Well, one is one thing that always drives me totally crazy is when people use of the moment slang, which is so clearly going to be out of fashion like next week.
For instance,
you can be, you know, the current one, and I think it's already past its prime, but the term on fleek is, I think, no longer on fleek.
Wow. Well, that must have been such a, flash in the pan that I didn't even know it was a term. But then again, I'm not really one to speak about modern cultural phenomena very
yes.
well.
You are a man who just had his first child, yet somehow is also a grandpa.
It's really, really phenomenal.
Yeah, so he even makes a play on fleek by saying, "You can be my fleeka, girl, I'll be a fleeko."
You can be my fleeka, girl, I'll be a fleeko, mama sister.
Oh, fleeko. That sounds like Bruno's Mars kid.
Yes.
Little fleeko. Little fleeko's Mar.
And then the utterly grossest line of the, or the grossest set of lines of the entire thing. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you? Is it me? Say it's us, and I'll agree, baby.
Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you? Is it you? Is it me? Is it me? Say it's us. Say it's us, and I'll agree, baby.
Wow, way to force a rhyme.
Yeah, it's And then finally, driving me crazy in one other way that is not the most typical. But, you know, sometimes you get a song that so clearly reminds you of another song, but you can't quite put your finger on it. And when he says the jump in the Cadillac, girl, let's put some miles on it.
Jump in the Cadillac, girl, let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just to put a smile on it.
The way the line goes, the girl, let's put some miles on it, there's some other kind of New Jack Swing type song from 10 or 15 years ago that I'm 100% sure that line is copied from Hook, Line, and Sinker, and I cannot quite place it. And it drives me crazy. So that's another thing that kind of sticks in my brain about this, because again, I feel like I'm reminded of another earlier, maybe not necessarily better, but another earlier song. Mm.
Well, look, you bring up some justifiable points for why this song is really annoying. But let me ask you one last time.
Please.
Did this song play against the backdrop of two mutant twins named Bobo and Little Devil?
Point taken.
So just keep that in mind.
But also keep in mind that their other third sibling was Bruno's Mar.
Ah, the connection. I think we've done a type of long-form improv there. You know, bring it all back to the beginning.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, and?
Exactly.
No, but. And for instance.
And don't forget, stick it in. It's a older game. It's from the old world.
And now we take an additional break. A much needed break. And we're back.
What a great break.
Yes, and now we're into our last segment of the show. Matt, do you have a song to recommend that same song reminds you of or makes you think of?
Yes, Stuart, I actually do. The song I would like to recommend in place of same song is Olivia Newton-John's late 1970s hit, A Little More Love.
The connection here.
That's because there is none. But that song was playing on the radio a couple days ago at work. Okay? And then I went home that night, and I'm not kidding, it was in my dreams, and then I woke up and it was still in my head, and I had to, like, you know, like when, like a drug addict who wakes up and is like, needs that hit. I literally had to play A Little More Love on my phone.
Sounds like a real high grade recommendation there, man.
My cats thought I was crazy. That's how bad it was. Now, so that being said, I will say, to be fair to the song, it's a lovely song. I happen to think Olivia Newton-John I had a little crush on her when I was little. You know, she was beautiful.
Well, she was gorgeous.
Still is. Amazing singer.
Have you seen that Christmas song video that she did with John Travolta?
When I talk about Olivia Newton-John, I try to sort of delete John Travolta from that part of my brain that knows they can't be separated.
Fair enough. And can I also make one other Olivia Newton-John comment? Do you remember a time when Let's Get Physical was considered too sexy and somewhat controversial?
I didn't realize it was controversial, but
I believe it was at the time.
I was admittedly turned on by the video. I'm not going to lie.
By all those sweaty, rippled men.
Something like that.
Yes.
But anyways, you should enjoy that song because it is a spirited and lovely late 70s song that just delights the senses. So there.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to recommend a song that I like quite a bit more than That's What I Like. And my wife, who does not particularly like That's What I Like, hates this song that I'm going to recommend with a passion, with the fire of a thousand suns. The song is Deborah by Beck. So the problem, one of the many problems I have with That Is What I Like, is that it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's not really. And actually, I should have brought this up in the segment while we were talking about it, but one of the other many things that annoys me about the song is just the title of it, That's What I Like, You're Lucky, That's What I Like.
Mm.
The whole thing is like, you know, oh, I'm telling you all these things, I'm going to do all these fancy things for you, but guess what? You're lucky because I like those things too, so that's why you get them, because I like them.
He should sing it like that.
Yeah, but you know, it's basically a kid saying like, well, I guess you can share because I'm doing it anyway. It's not for you, it's for me.
Gotcha.
Deborah, on the other hand, is a very, very silly, very tongue-in-cheek, slow jam about a guy trying to pick up a girl who has the utter confidence in the world and yet is in a social situation that is completely incompatible with the coolness he is trying to put off.
Sort of like Lady in Red?
Well, let me just give you one of my favorite couplets from the song, and I think that demonstrates it well.
I'll pick you up late at night after work. I said, lady, step inside my Hyundai. I'm gonna take you up to Glendale.
Cause when our eyes did meet, girl, you know I was packing.
fucking heat. Ain't got time to get to know each other. You know the deal.
I love that song so much.
Wow. You do a good impression.
Well, Beck is not a great singer. He's a great music maker and songwriter, and I love his songs, and he is definitely not a great singer, so I think I did an okay job.
No mockery intended. Props.
I want to get with you and your sister. I think her name's Deborah. I want to get with you. That's class.
Mm.
Well, I think we've wasted plenty of our poor listeners' time as it is.
We could waste. I feel like we could waste another few minutes. What do you say, listeners?
Well, on that note, I think we're going to bring this to the end of another I Hate You, But I Can't Stop Listening. And while that's the name of our podcast, we also hope that's how you feel about us.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And happy birthday to me.
Oh, it's your birthday!